Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info Programme. I'm Jo Fay. When we think of scientific research, we often think of state-of-the-art laboratories, expensive equipment, and experts speaking to each other in their own language of jargon and numbers. And while all those things can certainly play a role in science, they're not prerequisites to doing scientific research. In fact, all you really need to get started is a question. For Rachel Aronoff, that question is, how can we easily test our own cells for DNA damage?
So the idea is that people would take their own samples. Everybody's most interested in themselves, right? And then we would have a sort of protocol that's a standard protocol to do two very well-established assays. So it should be easy to make a DIY alternative and then hopefully do workshops and people can do a test.
So this is something that anybody could do?
Mm-hmm.
Where would they take the samples from?
The idea is to use cheek cells, exactly. So with a toothbrush, you get tons of cells.
Aronoff is a member of Haquarium, an open science laboratory in Canton Vaud in Switzerland. She and her fellow lab members participate in what's known as biohacking, or do-it-yourself biology. It's a way of experimenting with and redesigning biological systems outside of the traditional university or industry lab setting. SwissInfo journalist Celia Lutebacher went to one of Haquarium's regular open house events to see what this unconventional approach to science looks like in action.
On the night I visit Haquarium, its members are busy preparing for talks by invited speakers on the subjects of biohacking and other scientific projects by and for the public. While waiting for the talks to begin, I wander around the 1,000-square-meter space, which is high-ceilinged, open, and full of light on this late summer evening. Based on the furnishings, it appears to be a strange hybrid of laboratory, workshop, classroom, and café. There are lab benches, computers, microscopes, pipettes, petri dishes, whiteboards, tables, and chairs. And through a set of double doors, I come upon a refreshments area, where members can relax on a sofa and help themselves to hot and cold beverages. Payment and cleanup are based on the honor system, which is fitting for a community lab where all the members, some with backgrounds in science and some without, co-work using shared equipment.
For me, Haquarium is a community before being a space. It's a group of people, they're all very curious, some of them have a lot of knowledge in some disciplines, others have a completely different skill set, and just by getting them together, you see sparks.
Luke Henry is one of Haquarium's co-founders. I managed to catch up with him on another evening, on the train ride home from his day job at the Swiss National Science Foundation in Bern. I wanted to ask him about his definition of biohacking, because for me, the word hack is associated with weak passwords and the darker side of computer programming.
Biohacking is certainly something that groups many more activities, and it comes from computer hacking terminology, but it means doing biology, doing research in unconventional ways.
Henry has professional training in both biology and chemistry. He says he became frustrated by the rules and norms of doing science in an institution, so he started to look for an alternative.
I think today as much science as the industry are so result-driven. They think they know already where they're going, while it's clear to me that most of science and innovation is based on serendipity and chance. So I think we have this hope that hacking and biohacking and all these sort of unconventional spaces will reintroduce a bit of serendipity into the research and innovation.
Back at Haquarium, Rachel Aronoff tells me more about her project on what she calls genomic integrity, which we heard a little bit about earlier. She's developing user-friendly kits to test cheek swab DNA for evidence of cellular damage resulting from common practices like smoking, drinking, sun exposure, or contact with chemicals found in personal care products. I learned that she's also working on a second project with fellow Haquarium member Shannon Arisman. They're interested in the problem of water pollution in Swiss lakes and rivers. In addition to regularly collecting and sorting trash that washes up on Swiss beaches, Arisman takes water samples from various sites in the Lake Geneva area and then posts the data on the website of nonprofit organization hammerdirt.ch. Here at Haquarium, Aronoff and Arisman analyze the water samples for evidence of pollution from littering or from raw sewage contamination. Laid out before us on the lab bench tonight are several petri dishes with rather pretty blue and purple spots on them.
So this is, we're specifically looking for E. coli. And...
But that's just a biomarker for all the other things that would come out with raw sewage. E. coli itself shouldn't be dangerous. We all have it. It's the other things.
Well, one of the biggest problems in Switzerland is the wastewater treatment plants are undersized for the demand and a little bit of rain, and they still divert directly. The water goes directly from your toilet directly into the lake, and we find signs of that by volume of Q-tips, by the maxi pads, by the used condoms, by...
She's brave. She wears gloves when she does the trash pickup.
And I still swim in it.
I think the whole DIY biology movement, sometimes it mixes this sort of arty and social side, and it's good for getting people interested in things they might not otherwise want to think about.
But biohacking isn't the only way that non-scientists can get involved in scientific research in Switzerland. Citizen science projects, for example, rely on the observations and data contributions of hundreds of scientifically curious laypeople, including children and teens. The Bioscope, a life sciences lab based at the University of Geneva, is partly an educational space where primary and secondary school students can participate in hands-on science activities. But it's also a citizen science lab that facilitates public contributions to real-life research in a wide range of areas, from biodiversity monitoring and wildlife identification to astronomy and meteorological observations. Céline Brockman is the co-founder of the Bioscope. Via phone from the lab in Geneva, Brockman told me why she thinks that the project is so valuable, both socially and scientifically.
The idea of bringing people into science in general is about really going through the scientific process to live it from the inside, live the frustration that go with it, understand the limitations of it, but also live the thrill you have when you discover things, when you question, when you do something where you don't know what's the outcome. Then the aspect of bringing new data by being a part of it, I think, is fabulous because it's also empowering. Bringing data is not necessarily only reserved to a few experts in the ivory tower. So that's also sort of, again, bringing the scientific process to a more human level.
One of the Bioscope citizen science projects is called Participatory Biodiversity. And Brockman explained to me that it involves using something called DNA barcodes to identify and catalog every species in Switzerland. The Bioscope students collect plants and insects from their communities in Geneva and then send labeled specimens to a lab to receive DNA barcodes, which are added to a database.
So the goal of this is to take a sample of every species on Earth and to extract the DNA of the species and get like a barcode for a product in the supermarket. It's a small piece of the DNA that is really specific to this particular species. So it can be used then to study biodiversity on a large scale. Basically, the idea is that everybody, every scientist in the world should be able to have access to this data. So maybe there's a species we didn't know was in Geneva, or maybe a species even that has never been studied. That's the sort of motivation, basically.
For the general public, the benefits of participating in citizen science projects like the DNA Barcode Project and biohacking communities like Aquarium aren't hard to see. Citizens from all walks of life can work on projects that they're interested in or feel passionately about, and they don't have the pressure to publish or patent their work. But does public engagement in science through citizen science projects and biohacking benefit the institutional scientific community too? I pose this question to Pia Viviani, Deputy Director of the Foundation Science et Cité, which is dedicated to creating a two-way dialogue between scientists and the public. Over coffee at the Science et Cité offices in Bern, Viviani tells me that the scientific community doesn't always trust the quality of data from citizen science projects.
It depends very much on how the scientific question is asked. I mean, of course, with citizen science, you cannot ask a very, very complex question because people don't understand. They don't have the same background. But if you ask simple questions, then it's easy. Then also you find the right people to do it because they get interested. Sometimes the aims are different of institutional science and citizen science, or really still very often researchers think citizen science is not really useful because the quality is not good enough, which is not true.
Viviani has recently launched a new website called the Citizen Sciences Network Switzerland. And she says that the goal isn't just to help interested participants to find one another, but also to foster collaboration between these projects and Swiss institutions.
For the scientists, in the end, it is useful because they kind of hear a different perspective on their work, because most scientists are very much in their very specific research field. And you can also, as a scientist, you can kind of check if your topic is socially relevant or what people really think about it, where they see dangers, what they're afraid of, or where they see possibilities. For a scientist, the communication part of their work is important. It can be really interesting to co-work with citizens.
Luke Henry offers another perspective on the relationship between institutional and citizen science in Switzerland.
I think what's most interesting to me is to see what can DIY biology or citizen science do that academia cannot. It's not going to replace institutional research, never. The inner workings are completely different, the methodologies are completely different. Obviously, the funding available is completely different. So it's really about what are people in academia doing wrong, or what are they just ignoring altogether, and how can citizen science be solving these problems or investigating these issues? You know, we're always wiser together than alone.
But in spite of all these projects, citizen science and related movements are still less popular in Switzerland than in other countries.
Switzerland has a long history with naturalists, amateur scientists, and they're here and they're very active locally, but they're also then connected nationally. But for the rest of citizen science, I think it's really just starting. To be honest, when I compare with neighboring countries or with like UK or the US, I think there's a lot more going on already in citizen science than there is in Switzerland. And I think it's mainly because of cultural reasons, because especially in the US, it's more that you can do it spirit and you just try. And in Switzerland, people are a lot more careful and think, oh no, I'm not a scientist. It's less that culture that I don't care, I just try.
Nevertheless, public engagement in science in Switzerland is flourishing, slowly but surely. And its progress is thanks in no small part to technological advances like smartphone apps, cameras, and GPS, as well as online databases and communities. Luke Henry says that technology, in particular social media, could form the basis for the next frontier in citizen science in Switzerland.
Today, a bunch of experienced scientists sit together around a table and judge these science proposals, and give the money to the younger scientists or the experienced scientists who they think should deserve this money. What if now you ask the public? I'm involved now in a crowdfunding initiative for science, which means scientists need to sell their science projects to the public so that they get the funding they need to carry it on. And that's a form of citizen science. I mean, basically the people are the ones decided what sort of science should be funded and what shouldn't be.
Henry says it's not yet clear if the crowdfunding model will be able to select for the most promising scientific ideas or yield interesting new research avenues. In that sense, it is in itself a kind of experiment, and one that could have very interesting results, both for the Swiss scientific community and the public.
To read more about citizen science and scientific research in Switzerland, pay our website a visit, swissinfo.ch. This programme was produced by Celia Lutebacher. Thanks for listening, and thanks to studio technician Daniel Wieler. I'm Jo Fay.